Back. Good morning, MGTOW men. This will do. I can't be fucked, you know. But this is, otherwise I'll just forget forever sort of thing. This is to celebrate clocking over 35 years drug free. Not something you see very often, and not many people you see ever doing it. So, you know, I stand on the fucking shoulders of giants. Basically, I owe it in part to myself for all the hard work put in, and enormous amounts of people from MGTOW and all sorts of places, people all over the place, of men and women of all genders, you know. You know, there's the example of what to do, and there's the example of how to sort of bide your time or do it later, or sort of kind of waste the opportunity, kind of, I don't know, sort of stuff. And then there's the example of what not to do. And going on the records of Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous and all this sort of stuff, you know, the groups buy all these little trinkets, you know, to say welcome to, you know, for all the newcomers, you know. And so for every one person that picks, for every 100,000 people that walk in the door, for every 100,000, you know, things, trinkets that the groups give away, buy and then give away to the newcomers who walk in the door, you know, there's one person who buys a 35-year sober medallion. And the issue isn't the absolute accuracy of this. The issue is the gaping fucking, you know, lunar sort of, you know, interplanetary level fucking chasm of difference between the numbers, you know, like where's everyone gone, you know? And the truth is that most people have gone back out using and are dead, buried, gone, you know. Some people can get their shit together. Some people just continue on in lives of quiet desperation. Some people can get their shit together and keep their shit together, and, you know, and other people just manifest in other levels of crazy in other ways, you know. So getting this far is quite an achievement, and I think it pays not to be popular. I think it pays to be honest and to do a lot of hard work, and to have an attitude of gratitude. I think that's a really important thing too. So, you know, I'm just, it's lactose free and loaded up with sucrose, cane sugar. What a fucking bullshit trip, you know. But, yeah, grateful to have it. That's enough, you know. What else? Yeah, it's really remarkable being drug-free. It really is. Just society is just crazy. There's all these sort of crazy family value systems and crazy social norms, and, you know, it's like, kind of like I was looking at a Mickey Mouse introduction ad from the 50s, I think it was. M-I-C-K, M-I-C-K, who's the leader of the club? Blah, blah, blah. And they're running Coca-Cola fucking ads, you know, and ads for fucking junk food and shit, you know. So as long as you're clapping along and going, oh, yay, Mickey, you know. Oh, Ronald McDonald the Clown. Oh, yeah, McValue, Happy McValue fucking family meals. Oh, you know, come have your kiddies' birthdays at McDonald's. Oh, you know. So they're selling you shit that's poisonous, and yet they're going, buy from us. Oh, look at the Donald's and their total lack of fucking principles and ethics, and then the advertising agencies that fucking churn out this shit, and then the fucking, you know, the mainstream media that takes all the money for running all the advertisements for selling you all this shit, you know what I mean? You got to kind of think that this all sort of permeating bullshit is, it's like, it's, you got a society that's sort of crazy, that sort of, you know, it's like you get these fucking, you know, scam artists. You get these scam artists fucking churches and shit going, oh, come to us, oh, you know. It's just a different brand of bullshit, you know. That if you get, if you come along and say, oh, how amazingly amazing, yes, I love Jesus. Do you love Jesus? Yes, I love Jesus too. We, everybody here loves Jesus. Oh, fuck, amazing. Oh, it doesn't deal with any of the fucking issues. Like, why are you so fucking crazy that you have to sort of suspend belief and get into this shit, you know, like, you know, oh, we got a Jesus, a Jewish zombie in low Earth orbit. He's talking to me by telepathy. Oh, well, Jesus said this and Jesus said that. Well, why don't you fucking ask him to appear instead of constantly talking about the him in the third person, long gone, once upon a time kind of fairyland fucking shit, you know what I mean? Why don't you actually speak, you know? Oh, Jesus said this, well, why don't you clarify it? Ask him here, you know? Here's a spare seat. Sit down, Jesus. Let's have a chat, you know. It's a little bit overdue, you know. And there's all this suspension of fucking belief to, you know, just not living in reality. And, you know. So you just look at the drinking and the drugs and the self-medicating and the gossip and the sex and the fucking porn and the fucking... There's so much is so out of control. And getting into that sort of thing of, what's it called? There's a guy, John Bradshaw, and he talks about society. We don't have lifestyles, we have death styles. We're always trying to fill up the fucking emptiness and trying to fucking fixate on, you know, medicating the neediness and the lack of connection with ourselves and with other people and all this sort of stuff. And sort of, I've been hitting this shit pretty hard for the last 35 years, otherwise I wouldn't be here, you know. And, you know, and there's so many people that are just so fucking crazy, with so damaged and trying to cope with being damaged, and then they're trying to fucking get through the world in reacting to their damage, you know, rather than affirming that things aren't okay and what do I need to do about it, you know. And you'll find that there's not a lot of, there might be some real support, but there's not a lot, you know. We're either, you know, in AA or in Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous, because if most people aren't willing to put in the fucking effort to make this a lifelong commitment of manageability, to treat your own life like a small business and run it like a small business and become a professional recovering person, you know, to have high standards and to work at it, like getting up and going to work every day, like getting up and going to say, well, what do I need to do to work my, what are my issues and what do I have to do to work my way through them, you know? And they don't. You know, a lot of people just go, oh, well, you know, I've crawled out of the fucking pit, you know what I mean? And I'll just lay here and have a rest for a while and then go, oh, well, wasn't that bad. Fuck, it's a bit of an odd day. I think I could do with a beer, you know? Oh, here's my old friend Bob. Bob says, hey, have a taste of this. Have a snort or a sniff or a fucking toke, you know? Oh, yeah, Bob, yeah, back and fucking gone again, you know. And most people, a lot of people come out seriously unstuck, and most people never make it back out, you know. So, you know, eternal vigilance. It's like that sort of the little radars always running, you know. And, yeah. So, you know. And I personally haven't met, like, 100,000 people who have relapsed. But if I go, say, for, say, 50 people a day times, there'll be a little bit coming in and there'll be a little bit leaving, you know what I mean? Say, over time, I don't know, maybe 20,000, 30,000 people I've met, you know, over 35 years. And most of them are dead, buried and gone, you know. And very, very few of them you ever see again. Either socially or casually or just happen to run into them in the street somewhere, sometime, someplace, you know. It's kind of like the last stop in the fucking... It's a dead-end train line and this is the last stop, you know. And if you don't get off, you're fucking gone for good, you know. There's nowhere else to go, you know. And, yeah, savage. But, yeah. And the thing that surprises me is people don't chase. All the people who are going to fucking go under are the ones who don't chase opportunities, you know. I've got enough recorded material and this, some of it's some stuff you just sort of listen to, you know. Maybe sort of reflect on and maybe do some writing about or whatever, saying, well, I've got those issues too. But there's some stuff that's really remarkable. Because I said, well, what's outside of, what was it? Victorian Central Office, which is not really a central office, it's just a group office, you know, sort of bunch of groups in an area decided rather than everybody having their own phone line and their own literature and all this other sort of stuff, they just sort of centralised it. And so what happened is we found that they were sending out, you know, flyers to all the groups in Victoria saying, well, if you join with us and you sign over to us and hand us all your money, you'll come under our public liability scheme. And what happened was we checked up, I and the people I was with, we checked up on, with Zurich Insurance, and Zurich said, no, the groups of Victoria are not covered under the public liability insurance scheme. It's only the contents of the office, like, you know, someone walks in and trips over and breaks their head or something, and or the fucking contents of the office in case of fire or theft or whatever, you know. That's it. And we found that someone had materially altered, you know, like they'd gotten some white out and they'd gotten some white out and put it over the fucking wording in the letter, then they'd photocopied it and then they'd typed over the fucking top and they'd put in different, they'd falsified the certificates of insurance, you know, and that's fraud, you know. And it was then that, you know, a substantial portion, this is if you want to find out just how crooked a lot of people in Alcoholics Anonymous actually are, this is where you'll see it, you know. It was me and others versus all these fucking assholes in Alcoholics Anonymous who are, they're criminals, they're shitheads, they're scam artists, you know. And so it was, you know, us versus AA, and it was us, you know, versus fucking, it was World War III just about, you know. And it was also, I was a representative, I think it was the Mooney Ponds Narcotics Anonymous group, and coming out of fucking seeing what was going on in Alcoholics Anonymous. The group moved a motion to have the books of the Victorian Area Service Committee to have the books independently audited to see, well, where's the money going, you know? And so as the group service representative, I went to the Victorian Area Service Committee and I moved that motion, you know. And so what happens is all the fucking scam artists in Narcotics Anonymous, there was 32 group representatives, there was the, you know, the Area Service Committee chair, vice chair, literature, H&I, fucking, you know, all these subcommittee, you know, fucking heads. They're just scumbag fucking junkies, you know what I mean? Looking important, you know. And as old Roger the Dodger used to say, you know, about Simon Tease, you know, who was the Victorian Area Service Committee chair. He said, you know, Simon Tease, he's just a fucking, you know, he's just a big knob in amongst a pack of scumbag junkies, you know. Like, wow, you know. And so what this pack of fucking cunts did, the Area Service Committee themselves, they moved a motion to have me, you know, I'm a vexatious litigant and I should be barred as a GSR. And they can't do it. You know, you can't throw fucking people out just because you don't like what they're saying, you know. And out of 32 GSRs at the group, 2 voted against, 2 abstained, and 28 fucking people voted for this. You know, so, and this is how, you know, you want fucking stupid junkies who are going to fucking relapse, you know. I mean, this is how fucking stupid you fucking junkies are in Narcotics Anonymous. Because they don't vote on principles. They vote because, oh, fuck, mate, oh, you can't be. You know, you can't be a little bit honest. You got to be fucking one of the boys. You got to be one of the girls. You got to be fucking part of the in crowd, mate. Oh, getting honest and doing things responsibly. Whoa, we can't do that, you know. And, so I kind of had to cop that sweet. And as hard as that was really hard going, you know, but what happened is I had to learn how to get a life. If you've never had a life, it's been like a sort of endurance and an endurance race of just trying to get by. You know, I'm going to Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, they're good, but if you don't know if you've never had a life, how do you fucking create a life? You know, now you're drug free and getting your shit together. Well, where do you go on? Do you just spout cliches and read literature and going, oh, I'm an alcoholic, I'm a fucking drug addict, oh, fuck, you know. What do you do then, you know? And so in a way, that was, as hard as that was, that was a blessing and it's made me incredibly formidable, you know. You get these trusted servants, you want to fuck with me, I'll hold you accountable, you know. You know, you weak-minded pieces of shit, you know, it's on for young and old. And, but, you know, through that, I did a deal with the people who were selling the Tony Robbins Get the Edge program, and that was really good, you know. Seriously, smart people, good advice, take it, use it, you know. And so I did a deal. They fucked up my order, so I pressed the fucking buttons legally to get the contract fulfilled, and I came out of that pretty good. But what I did is instead of having 75 CDs with individual tracks on them, I converted all the bloody audio tracks off the CDs into MP3s and then joined them, you know, and made them into individual days, you know, this day one, day two, day three of the program. And plus there's all these other power talks, you know what I mean? I consolidated. So I spent 3 months converting all those 75 CDs into something that I could digitally carry and use. And the worksheets, what I did is I put it in triplicate, you know, so that I could have what I've done, you know, where I'm aiming. The second version was what have I achieved on that stuff and where am I going with it, you know what I mean? And when the comes to doing a third one, I can look at the first one, I can review the second one, and then I can go from the second one to the third one. Well, how am I transitioning? How's the development process coming along? And that was fucking brilliant, you know. That was a huge help because this is on how to get your life together. So going to meetings and going, oh, you know, I've got these problems and, oh, mum's a cunt and dad's a fucking arsehole and, oh, fuck, you know, well, what do you do after that, you know? And so that was a huge help, you know, and so I got into a lot of really good things, you know. There's so much, you know. Fuck, you know. And, yeah, about time to drain this, siphon the python. And I'll pause it. Good. Oh, fuck. Fly spray. Got the back door open and the bloody flies. Yeah, I hate the sort of fisheye lens effect, you know, that sort of, because it makes me look fucking huge in the chest when, you know, I am physically large, but the dimensions are sort of consistent, not blown out, you know, like I'm 600 fucking pounds or something. But that's, you know, yeah, so, you know, so that's with recovery. There's, you know, getting your shit together, you know, What's the words? Yeah, so that Get the Edge program, and, you know, I reorganised the book, and I did it through in the sequence that it's actually done in, rather than just shit written all over the place and stuff like that. And that's been a huge help. But, you know, the other side of that sort of thing, if you kind of want to be a lion tamer and an astronaut and a jet fighter pilot and, you know, crocodile hunter and, you know, all sorts of things under, you know, building nuclear submarines and building super tankers and running great empires and all this, it takes a fucking lot of work and a lot of smarts and a lot of experience, some you come into it with and some you gain along the way, and it's like, fuck, there's so much to do in life. Just like, whoa, fuck, you know. And yeah, so that was a little bit of a sort of bit of an eye-opener, you know. It's why people usually only have one or two jobs and one or two hobbies, you know, that's fucking plenty. But that was a huge help, you know. And, you know, going to NA and AA meetings and spouting the cliches, that's helpful up to a point, but what do you do beyond that? You know, there's nothing in there that says how to get a life, you know. And what else? And the thing that gets up my ass a bit is how many cunts will just sit there with their, they got their finger up their ass or their finger up each other's asses, and they won't chase opportunities, you know. And over the years, I've collected enough to listen to about 8 hours a day, 7 days a week for a whole year. And there's a lot of really powerful pull your finger out, make it happen type stuff, take action, you know. You know, there's, it's like someone who turns up to work and they've got a nice little nice office seat and they sit there sipping their coffee and answering the phone and all this sort of stuff, you know, and that's kind of like getting your foot in the door. But then there's, you know, learning how to run a business, putting in the effort and getting the education and the fucking resources and all this other sort of stuff to run the business and to make the business be run responsibly, you know. Bookkeeping and accounting, you know. And technical qualifications and the time to sort of keep all the paperwork up to date, you know. You know, there's enormous amounts of stuff, you know. There's that stuff. You know, and I say to people, you've got to become a professional recovering person. Don't be as fucking the brain dead cunt who just sits there sipping coffee and playing with the phone. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, I'll put you through. Yeah, fucking, you know. You've got to become the CEO in your own life, you know, and you've got to chase the opportunities to not only get stuff done, but you've also got to chase the opportunities and put in the hard work to make things happen. And most people fucking don't. You know, it's like you could give them a chest full of gold's really fucking heavy. It's like, you know, it's basically sort of nearly twice the weight of lead, you know. You know, so having a gold fucking box full of that much fucking, you know, little chest of gold, it's a lot, you know. Oh, you know. And so, you know, you can give them, you can say, here's the life of your fucking dreams. Here's this chest of gold, you know what I mean? And they'll look at it, yeah, and go, what? Oh, fucking what? Yeah, yeah, you can have a whole, here's your whole fucking life. You can have a really brilliant future, you know. And they go, what, you want me to carry it home too? Fuck off. Stupid cunt reckons I've got to fucking carry me gold home. What do I want to do that for, you know. And that's what most of them are like. Most of the people you run across in recovery, I'm not going to pursue the fucking opportunities. They're not going to put in the fucking effort. They're going to be brain dead cunts who just sit there with their fingers up their arse, spouting the cliches, going, oh, yeah, yeah, oh, really good getting off the drugs and stuff. And then they won't put in any fucking effort to make things grow after that, you know? It's kind of like people who want, they want, say, a bit of fresh fruit, you know? You know, they want some carrots and some fucking apples and a banana or something, and they go, oh, fuck, oh, what, you mean I have to go out and dig the yard up and put in all these crops and then irrigate them and then put in compost and, you know, keep the operation really good and, you know, make the fucking plant. Well, you look at all those fucking people that do all this permaculture shit and they just go, gardens are like fucking jungles of silver beet and veggies and tomatoes and carrots and chilies and fucking just everything, you know. Onions and potatoes and apple trees and pear trees and oranges, and it's just fucking unreal, you know. And these cunts are just sitting there with their fingers up their ass, you know, going, "What? Oh, it's not my job. Fuck." You know, they don't have to learn anything. They don't have to fucking. They think they can get through life or they're into their future by not having to think, not having to act, not having to plan, not having to be responsible, not having to get up, you know, when the sun comes up and, you know, work, you know, half work the day, have a sleep at lunchtime and then get back into it when it cools off a bit, you know what I mean? They just want everything to fucking happen and do nothing to get it, you know? And so they fall by the wayside. And, you know, so, you know, if you've got, what is it? If you've got, say, it gets back into that thing. There's the groups are buying 100,000 of these welcome to NA or AA little key rings or fucking poker chips or, you know, medallion, little plasticky sort of things, you know what I mean? And there's only one person 35 years later who's buying a medallion saying, you know, "I've cocked this one over," you know what I mean? And I think, I don't think there's many people, I think it's just, there's not many people who make it this far. And I just don't think that this is the limits of my celebration. Yogurt cup with a candle in it, that's fine by me, you know. You know. So, you know, I don't want medallions. I don't want fucking trinkets and shit. I don't wear jewelry, you know. No earrings, rings, you know, necklaces, chain things and all that sort of stuff. Just not into it. I just think they're just hazards and they sort of break and rot and wear out and stuff. So I just, you know, and, you know, in my sort of various professions, you know, metal rings tend to be sort of lethal and dangerous. They're contributory sort of things to electrocution. But so I don't wear them. And they get caught in things and, "Hi!" You know? "I thought you were married." "Yeah, well, my finger got, you know, jumped off something and the ring got caught on something and there goes your finger," you know? So, yeah, that's what happens is people stop putting in the effort. They just go clear, clear. They're dumb cunts. And a lot of people aren't going to like this, but junkies are fucking stupid human beings, you know. People in AA are stupid human beings. Because you've got the, as dumb as it can be and still be let out the front door, you know, and then you got sort of mega geniuses that are just absurdly fucking intelligent, you know. And then you got the average person who, say, hasn't, say that's, we'll just say that's 200 there and we'll just say they're able to tie their shoelaces there, you know, and the average person is somewhere in the middle. Well, addicts tend to think in terms of how can I pull the next scam, you know, in sort of more of the, I guess, more of an extreme mode. They're not chasing due diligence, they're chasing quick fixes, you know. So their capacity to work through problems, they don't focus on that so that they focus on the easier, softer, fuck the consequences, I want what I want when I want it and I want it now kind of sort of shit. So they don't develop a lot of fucking smarts kind of stuff, you know what I mean? And then you get their brains are sort of scrambled from, you know, years and decades of drinking and taking alcohol and other drugs. So they become sort of scrambled. So that sort of knocks a huge amount off their fucking IQ point type stuff, you know what I mean? And so you get all these brain damaged fucking cunts in recovery acting like they're fucking, you know, because they're focusing on, you know, quick fixes rather than long-term results. They tend to not be that fucking bright in the first place. And they tend to be fucking lazy, and they tend to be sort of, I don't want to be held accountable, I don't want to have to do the hard work, I want to fucking back doors. You know. I want to have fucking back doors to everything. And they're drug fucked, you know, they're scrambled upstairs, you know what I mean? What happens is, you know, and they won't work at anything. They'll just do just enough to get them off the fucking, you know, it's like the big piss up in the park where they're all drinking and doing drugs and, you know, fighting and, you know, having a barbecue and all sorts of bullshit's going on, you know. And then they say, oh, this is just too crazy, I want out. So they go up to the fucking, you know, the do-gooders on the hill going, oh, hello, Jesus, oh, you know, fucking, yeah. And they go to the bloody Sunday socials there and all this sort of stuff. And then after a while they say, oh, this is fucking bullshit and this is boring. Oh, I might go see me mates, you know, have a drink, Bob, have a fucking toke, you know, have a fucking, you know, have a whack, whatever, you know, and then they're back out using, you know, and, you know, so they're not that bright, they're fucking drug fucked, they're lazy. They won't do what it takes to fucking earn. You know, you got to become a professional recovering person. You got to earn your recovery. You know, you got to earn your right to be here. You got to earn your place in the world. You know what I mean? And so they're lying. They're lazy. They fucking bullshit. They rather go with the general consensus rather than having to think, well, is this really right or wrong? And why? You know? And they just go, oh, me too, you know. It's like that feminist shit, the oh, me too fucking crap, you know. They just go under like flies, you know. So that's why I'm still here. I'm now in the fucking shot past my own anniversary, but I think I'm now the 12th or 13th day into my 36th year drug-free, you know. And this is my cake. That's fucking fine, you know. And because I like to cook on the road, this is like about $6 or $7, you know. And these, the brand in China and retailers, and all, this is sort of like the last, from my understanding, this is the last of the suppliers in Australia, you know. And these are fucking lethally sharp, you know. Like if you're going to sort of fuck with it, don't fuck with the cutting edge, you know what I mean? But it's just so dangerous. And that is like, oh, don't point the blade at yourself. That there is about, ...1.2 or 1.3 millimeter thick, the blade, you know. It's as fucking sharp as, like straight out of the packet, you know. Don't go bump, you know. It's razor sharp, you know, two pieces of. It'll just slice you open like nothing. It's really is. And why did I get this? This is for, because when I travel, I like to cook and I like to slice vegetables, you know what I mean? So you can cut, chop up your veggies really good. And this is not, because you can tell by the thickness of the metal, you know, and how thin that is, that like this will not take a lot of fucking hard side, like leverage and sideways forces. It's mainly, it's a light slicing fucking cleaver, you know what I mean? You know, if you've got cucumbers and you want to slice them, tomatoes, lettuce, you know, other vegetables, as long as you don't put any sideways fucking strain on that, or, you know, like wrestling it through a fucking pumpkin or something. If you're going to push it through your pumpkin, you use a little bit of guidance on the handle and then you push it through a pumpkin like that, you know what I mean? It's, so I picked that up, you know, I like to buy things and give them away. So I go, fuck, have it. This is really good, you know. So that's a thing. Forget where I put the fucking wrapper. But there's the brand on it. There's, because when I have to travel, I like to cook, you know, and really, you know, you can just boil up some soup, throw a fucking handful of mince in it, or make a hamburger type thing or whatever, and you can slice your vegetables really fine. And I don't like big, sharp, pointy carving knives, because most of the time the point is really fucking irrelevant. And these are really good cooking knives, you know. Lethally sharp. You know, don't even fucking let the blade just touch you like that. Just a slight bit of forward motion like that, and it's gone fucking pow, straight through the skin, you know. Oh, God, you know. But brilliant, you know, nice nylon chopping board. And that's some of the other things about, you know, recovery is nutrition is very important. Lots of fresh fruit, lots of fresh vegetables, bit of meat, bit of cheese, a little bit of fucking other stuff here or there, you know, and avoid the carbohydrates like sugar and flour, you know, unless you're really fit and you're really sort of exercising, you know. But so that's the sort of anniversary. A $7. There's the fucking branding on it. A $7 fucking vegetable slicing type cleaver. You know, that's plenty. That's fucking, I need that. That'll last for years. That slices like fucking, you know, rice paper thin slices of tomatoes, kind of sharp, you know. What else? Yeah, so diet and nutrition and exercise is really important. Bob Earl said many years ago, you know, people who tidy up their fucking eating, getting off the coffee, the sugar and the cigarettes and, you know, eating junk food like donuts and shit like that. He said people who tidy, clean up their eating do 80% better than those that don't. You know, it's a sort of scientifically established fact. You know, people, they cut all these, like, I don't agree necessarily with sudden changes because, unless you're about to die, they're kind of best to sort of make long-term changes, you know, so that the new normal becomes the normal rather than a sudden abrupt change, you know. But, you know, it's like if you drink, say, 10, only 10, if you drink 10 cups of coffee a day, start to substitute. You know, have, say, one, the Campbell's V8 vegetable juice. You know, have a fucking, instead of a cup of coffee first thing in the morning, chug down one vegetable juice. You know, have one vegetable juice just first thing in the morning, or have your cup of coffee first, get busy, come back to life, and then have a fucking glass of vegetable juice, you know what I mean? And slowly substitute your way out of guzzling coffee all fucking day, you know? Because coffee gives you the sugar hit, gives you the caffeine fucking hit, and so you're peaking and you're spiking and dropping and spiking and dropping and spiking and dropping, but there's no nutrition in it. So by the time it's like 2 or 3 in the afternoon, you got a fucking headache, you feel like shit, and you just want to puke your guts up from drinking coffee, you know? Coffee and white flour biscuits, you know, the sort of, you know, have a biscuit to have with your fucking coffee, you know? That's not as good as a decent ham, cheese and salad sandwich or something, you know what I mean? Thin slice of ham, thin slice of cheese, a whole heap of lettuce, tomato, cucumber, carrot, you know, fucking just pack it in, you know? So, yeah, there's a whole heap of stuff, and do all the work on the relationships with your family of origin and your society. Who's role modelling this shit for you? You know, mum, dad, you know. This is one of the things that all the feminists don't like, is you get all these self-help groups and you'd be surprised how many people absolutely fucking hate their mothers because their mothers were lying, scheming, scamming, gossiping, nasty fucking cunts who were the troublemakers in the family and who played the kids off against dad, saying, oh, your dad never wanted, your dad's a cunt, he fucking ran away and he never fucking made any effort to contact you and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, when the kids get to 20 years old and they go after their father or something, they say, fuck, you know, you never wrote, you never came up, you know, and you never saw me, you never came around for my birthday or Christmas or nothing, you know what I mean? And then they found out that, you know, dad will say, well, you know, your mum took out an intervention order and if I went around there to see you, she was going to have me locked up in jail. And, you know, I've been writing letters to you every week for the last 20 years and, you know, and then you find that your mother's been fucking, you know, been sticking them in a garbage bag behind underneath the bed or some shit, you know what I mean? You know, and then she's been, you know, while your old man's been trying to establish and maintain contact with you, you know, your mother's been fucking calling him a cunt and saying he's done nothing, he's a fucking deadbeat dad and all this, you know. It's just, there's a lot of people who absolutely fucking hate their mothers, you know. So despite all this feminist bullshit, you know, there's women who just deserve to be, absolutely have their faces punched in for just being fucking cunts, you know. And they are. They're really nasty fucking people, you know. God, you know. And, you know, the women are responsible for most of the violence in the home. The women are also responsible for most of the child molestation going on in the home. You know, and, you know, my experience is that there's a, you know, they talk about, oh, the pervy guys who are the fucking predators, you know. Well, fuck, there's a lot of women who go around preying on teenage boys, you know, young, you know. I don't have a lot of experience of being preyed upon as a child, but as a young sort of teenager, plenty of women were fucking in for that, you know. So, yeah, there's a lot of fucking bullshit going on, you know. You know, the amount of shit that the women project on the guys is just astronomical. Oh, protect the women from the bad men, protect the women from the bad men. It's the women who are fucking the bad men, you know. It's the women who are the bad characters, the bad actors, who are lying and cheating and scheming and scamming and playing point the finger at the fucking men all day, you know. So this is where MGTOW, Men Going Their Own Way, all the guys into this stuff have been a huge help. So, you know, yeah. So if you, you know, if you're gonna, I've worked out that the object, the idea of recovery is to, you know, get to, you know, to get drug free and to stay drug free by working your way through all your fucking issues, and hopefully getting to have a really meaningful, good quality of life and dying of old age and natural causes. You know, to go, fuck yeah, made it to the finish line and it was fucking brilliant, you know. And, you know, you've really got to watch out for all those cunts that just want to sit around with their finger up their own or each other's asses and being part of the in crowd and fucking, you know, if you had 1,000 people join Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous today in 1 year's time, in 3 months' time, there's going to be like 500 of them left. By the time the year's up, there's going to be like 50 of them picking up their 1 year sober medallion. By the time we get to 5 years sober, there's like about 16 or 17 of them left. By the time we get to 10 years, you know, there's around about 10 or 12 of them left. So, and that means like out of the 1,000, there's 900, round about, we'll just say fucking rounding up or down just to make it fucking easy. But out of 1,000 people who walked in the door, you know, 10 years later, there's like 10 of them left, you know what I mean? The other 990, some of them have gone out and said, I now have enough, I've had enough of a break that I can start to get my life together, you know what I mean? I can start to deal with things and they pursue these, you know, opportunities for wellness through other means and methods and stuff, and they apparently succeed at it. But most people don't. Most people go back out using and they're fucked, you know. So you got to consider who you're surrounding yourself with. Are you one of these dead shits who will just sit there with your finger up your ass, not chasing the opportunities, getting into all the gossip and the drama and all the fucking bullshit under the sun and then just sliding off the fucking edge, you know, forever. You know, here one day, gone the next kind of stuff, you know. Or are you one of the people that want to succeed and are prepared to do whatever it takes to succeed, you know? You know, so you got to watch out from the enemy from within and the enemy without. And just because people turn up to meetings and go, oh, g'day, mate, how you going, you know, doesn't mean they're your friend. And just because people fucking ignore you, you know, doesn't mean they hate you, you know what I mean? But don't fall into that sort of thing. If I'm doing what everybody else does, I'm part of the fucking group. I belong. I'm fucking, no, but the majority of people fucking go back out using. So don't fit in with the group. Do what it takes to work your way through your own issues or go under. Thank you. Oh, yeah, for the 35 years drug-free. Excellent. I just love the taste of lead-filled Chinese wax in the morning. So that's pretty good. It's not, I've come to sort of suspect that anything that comes out of China is fucking dubious, you know. Not because it is, but so much of it is, you know. Oh, that's nice. Yeah. And the concept Yoplait, lactose free. So they load it up with sucrose. Fucking amazing. All right, guys. I'll catch you later.